Another blood red sunset, and yet another moon face, and still another 100 miles to my next resting place. Driving down the road, eyes on the horizon, within my car, I'm all alone, but feeling good and feeling strong, knowing that this path I'm on brings me to myself. I'm driving.
Hey y'all, I'm Jules. Welcome back to another episode of Spirit Sherpa, the show that helps encourages you on your journey to unlock your magic mojo. With me, as always, is the Spirit Doctor, Kelly Sparta. What's up, Panama Kelly?
Hi, baby. We are in the dry season, the windy season, summer in Panama right now. And there's a lot to be said for it. The sunsets are amazing. The weather is stunningly beautiful and sometimes really, really windy. But I could do without the hand-sized spiders.
Well, are they like a cousin of Mother Spider? You know, because that's one of your spirit guides.
Yeah, she's coming to visit, and I'm okay, but she can't be in my bedroom. So we had to take the one that was coming into the master bath and be like, okay, you're too close to the bedroom now. You got to go outside. So,
okay. Yeah. So like, how big are these spiders? Are they like hand size?
Well, palm sized.
So palm sized.
But I have a big,
that's like
hand.
Tarantula size.
Yes, but it's not a tarantula. So I'm still trying to figure out what it is. But, you know, she told me she wasn't poisonous and like dangerous. So, you know, I was like, okay, I believe you. And then we had a grasshopper come to visit, massive grasshopper come to visit.
Was that the thing on your wall on the video?
That was the thing on my wall and all of
my
Panamanian followers.
Oh my God, I'm like, what is this thing?
Yeah, all my Panamanian followers.
It was huge.
Massive. Yeah, all the people from Panama who follow my TikTok were like, don't kill it. It's a grasshopper. It's good luck. It's good luck. And I'm like, okay. And so it stayed and visited with us for like 3 days. And that was really cool. But yeah, they grow the insects bigger here.
Yeah. So some things are bigger in Panama.
Some things are bigger in Panama. Yeah. So we're having fun, but it's so beautiful here. I love it. Oh, did you hear that? We just got a big boom of thunder. We rarely get rain here during the dry season. And it rained earlier today, and so I didn't think we would be getting anything else, and it just went boom over my head. So we're going to be getting some more rain. I don't know if you guys are going to hear it or not, but hey, we need the water.
That's okay. See, the thunder gods are excited about our guest today. They're like, we're going to be talking about some really cool stuff. And because we have a very cool guest. We do. His name is Derek Loudermilk. And he is a quantum business coach, creator of the LEAP, L-E-A-P method. He is a host of a top-rated podcast called The Derek Loudermilk Show. Four-time best-selling author, Superconductors, Revolutionize Your Career and Make Big Things Happen, Activate Your Life, Better Business Book. And he is out of St. Louis, Missouri. He has coached some global influencers, leading scientists, cutting-edge entrepreneurs, billionaires, world record athletes, thought leaders. You know, you need to strive to do better in life. I'm just saying, you are just lazy. That's all there is to it. Jeez. Okay, but wait a minute, there's more. And then his work has been featured in over 100 publications and podcasts globally. And he's a former pro cyclist, extreme microbiologist turned professional adventurer. But wait for it. Today, he's going to be talking about, because you're still not achieving enough, he is on a quest to learn 100 metaphysical esoteric healing techniques. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. He slices, he dices, he Julian's fries.
He Julian fries.
Derek, hello. You're a badass, man.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. And it's so funny you were talking about these giant spiders. I was just thinking about that yesterday because in dinosaur times, there were giant insects. There were huge insects, like roly polies the size of VWs and, you know, just really big bugs. And it's because the oxygen levels were so much higher at that point. And bugs sort of absorb through their surface area of their bodies, some of them. And so if you have a lot of oxygen, then you can get bigger insects. And so really that's why they're limited in size right now. So maybe with global warming, we'll get, you know, bigger spiders back again.
Oh, that's something to look forward to.
You know, it's not all bad.
I need a bigger swatter, apparently.
Don't let grandmother spider hear you say that. She would come
only the spiders that are mean and bite me during the... They bite me when I sleep.
Oh, well, she's trying to get your attention. Pay attention to her.
Well, okay.
Yeah, do that, yeah. She's like, oh, duh. Right, yeah. Fine. Yes, I remember that stage where, you know, you're just arguing against everything your guides tell you. You're just like, no, I don't want to do that. You can't make me. Yeah. So, Derek, tell us about some of the esoteric things that you have learned, because I'm assuming that you have not reached your goal yet.
I'm getting close. I'm 91 out of the way to 100. So again, I think I'll hit it this year. And it wasn't always a quest. It was just like something I was exploring, figuring out, falling in my lap along the way. Because when I was traveling the world as an adventurer, I was exposed to a lot of these, you know, native shamans, or just, you know, go to a holy temple and have some interesting experience. Probably the best one, which introduced me to telepathy, but kind of the one that kicked things off, was this 800-year-old magic tree, which has these amazing three trunks that come together like 100 feet up in the air. And when I touched this tree, the tree started communicating with me telepathically and then projected my consciousness halfway across the world to show me this desert, basically this forest where the desert was taking over the forest. And the message really was, look, we're destroying the earth. You know, these deserts are taking over, and it's because you've forgotten to pay attention to the natural world. And so it was kind of like giving me a mission, you know, to bring people back out into the wilderness to reconnect with nature. And that actually ultimately led to me creating these retreats. I used to lead a bunch of adventure retreats for entrepreneurs, but it also got me thinking, like, how is this possible? How is it that this tree was communicating with me like this? Because as a scientist, I like to investigate, you know, what are the mechanisms underneath this phenomenon? And so that's kind of what I spent the last 7 to 8 years doing, is just sort of researching on both an experiential level, scientific level, and then also going to meet some of these masters and gurus and shamans and sages all over the world.
Well, come to Panama. We'll put you in a sound healing with my Kantara sound healing that I do.
Oh, yeah. Number 92 there. Be perfect.
Come on down. There you go. Besides, you know, there's something magical about Baru here, the volcano I live on the side of. So there's an inherent energy here that is just amazing.
I think anywhere where you can live on a volcano by the ocean is pretty good place.
Yes, it doesn't suck.
Yeah, just a wee, yeah, you know. Yeah. So how did you go from scientist, like severe left brain, to now spiritual right brain?
It took actually years to not be a materialist anymore. I often, you know, most scientists still operate under a materialist viewpoint, that is like the material world is first and it sort of creates the phenomenon as we perceive them. My understanding now is that consciousness creates the material world. Consciousness is fundamental and it's sort of a byproduct. The physical world is a byproduct of how intention consciousness is applied, a densification of thought forms, essentially. So that took a long time to sort of unwind that particular belief structure. And the thing that the one that finally sort of the final nail in the coffin, I was talking with, he's a neuroscientist. What's his name? Anyway, he died and he was totally brain dead. And he had this wonderful tour of the afterlife. Eben Alexander, that's the one. He wrote this famous book, Proof of Heaven. And so he's this neuroscientist and had this experience when he was brain dead. And he said, well, that shouldn't be possible. So he started doing all this research and he realized that it's not the brain that creates the phenomena of memories and memories persist, between lifetimes. So there's a lot going on external to our physical body in terms of our consciousness, in terms of our memories, all kinds of things like that.
Yes to all of it. By the way, the densification, I love that word, the densification of thought forms. Yeah. So the if you don't know it, which, given how much study you're doing, I'd be surprised. But in case you haven't walked through alchemy, the line that is the demarcation, that liminal space between thought and reality is called the archaeus. And so it's either spelled A-R-C-H-A-E-U-S or A-R-K-E-U-S, depending on who you look it up by. But it is that transition point between thought and form. And so that's the line where the densification happens.
Yeah. And I haven't looked into alchemy at all. It's like, I just threw this up on Facebook a few weeks ago. I said, here's what I've tried so far, any recommendations? And there was like 200 more things for me to try. There's a lot of different techniques for me to try.
Yeah, there's as many techniques as there are people who have done this for more than 10 years, because inevitably you end up developing your own process, because if you do it for any length of time, then it becomes this combination of things that you are good at. And then you take everything you've ever learned from all the people you've ever learned it from, and then you integrate it into yourself with all the things that you're good at, and boom, here's a new modality, right?
I ended up doing that sort of naturally as well, because I coach entrepreneurs. We took this group healing practice, the power of eight healing practice, which is usually used for healing. But one thing I noticed in that practice was the rebound effect. So everyone that was sending healing to the recipient tended to experience even more healing themselves. And there's this wonderful rebound effect. And I thought, oh, we could probably apply this to business. And so we, instead of picking a healing outcome, we pick like a specific business outcome that somebody wants to manifest, like an appearance on a podcast or a successful launch or something like that. And then we all intend together for it to happen. And we notice, first of all, they've always come true, which is amazing. Perfect 100% track record. And the other side is that it seems to put people into momentum in their own business as the sender. And then the other thing it does is it gives precognitive information. Oftentimes it'll give us insight about who should you partner with for this launch, or what are you going to be wearing when you go on TV? These just random bits come to the group. So it kind of taps into that non-local awareness that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Well, and if you're doing an eight is an infinity symbol. So what comes goes, right? What goes comes. And then you've also got eight is a completion number. It's an abundance number. So it makes perfect sense that it would be good for this sort of model. From a numerological perspective. Yes, I can talk. So I'm like, I'm chewing on my words. Yeah, it's all good.
And I think there's something to if you say just out loud in front of other people, like, this is what I want to create in the world, and they're willing to back you up. They're like, yeah, I want that in the world too. And we all agree this is something worth putting our energy towards. That's a huge first step to making it happen.
Yeah. Well, and what you're doing is you're activating the synergy of multiple people, right? because, you know, you put two or more people together doing energy work in the same direction. It's not additive. It's multiplicative. It's exponential in many cases. So, yeah, so I see so many reasons why that works for you. like it just makes perfect sense to me. So that's a cool concept though. It's great that you figured that out and expanded the process. But this is how it happens, right? That's what we were talking about. The way that you and I ended up talking is we're part of a Facebook group that, you know, Will from the Skeptical Metaphysician introduced us. And you know, you were talking on there about telepathy. So tell me a little bit more about how you got involved with telepathy. And first define it for people from your perspective, how it works, you know, what is telepathy? How does it work? And then, you know, tell us how you got involved with it.
Yeah. And I group telepathy in a larger class of skills, which I called non-local awareness, which is kind of the scientific term, because I, you know, first dug into the scientific literature. But so this would include like clairvoyance, intuition, remote viewing, telepathy, psychic skills. They're all basically accessing the same thing, which is information that's not part of your physical body. So telepathy would be specifically communication with another person, another being, another consciousness unit, whereas remote viewing is, for example, accessing information about a place or a time that's remote from you. But I really see them as once you start to learn to get this type of information, you can apply it across these different areas. And I met my collaborator, the person I co-facilitate with, is an animal communicator from Denmark, Dita Young. She's also in our group, Kelly. And she said, I can teach you animal telepathy in a couple minutes. I was like, really? And so we did it live on Instagram, and what she would do is she would hold up these pictures of horses, and she would have me look in the eyes of the picture of the horse to establish the connection. And then she would say, okay, give me a medical diagnosis of this horse. Give me its medical history and its personality profile and, you know, how it likes to be trained as a jumping horse and just go through all this. And then she knew the medical history of these animals, and she could confirm like, yep, you're 90% correct, accurate. Here's what you got right. Here's what you missed. And the really cool thing is that, you know, when you have something you're practicing, you can get feedback. Like if you have a known medical history, or if you're remote viewing something in the other room in a sealed envelope, right, for example, then you can go and check. You can get feedback. How accurate were you? Did you get all the elements of the photograph that you're trying to view? Or, you know, did you get all the elements of someone's medical history? So it's actually a trainable skill that you can slowly improve over time with both your accuracy and how much total information you're able to pull when you do this.
And I find also that a lot of it's about how much you believe you can do, right? Because that's why the proof is so important, because you'll limit your ability to see, or you won't say everything you see, or you'll hold back, or you'll hem and haw, or you'll modify or whatever, because you're not sure that you're getting it right. And so the more proof you get, the faster you get proof and a book of proof to sort of look at and say, oh yeah, I guess that does work. The faster you believe it, and then your belief will fuel a greater level of skill.
Yeah, exactly. It's in determining, you know, like how you get some information when you're viewing something. And then the question for a lot of people becomes, can I trust this information? Am I making it up? Is it my imagination? Is it my ego? And there's beginners overlay their expectations to some degree on what's happening. And so the training process is partly about learning how the information arrives. Are you the type of person that gets visual or auditory or, you know, other ambiance, sense information. And so that's been fascinating for me, like as we've run this training program, just seeing how different people, you know, because some people are like, I can't get any visual information, but I know that there's, you know, I know there's mud involved, or I know there's, you know, people arguing or whatever it might be, but I can't see it.
Now, when you're starting out, do you, because I'm very new in the spiritual woo-woo world, right? Kelly's been doing this many, many moons, right? I haven't. So as I'm learning, I've taken Reiki, I'm a level 2 Reiki, and I try and do different things. So I'm trying to build my intuition and work on that. And so I'll find different, you know, meditations that I'll say, here's how to open your third eye. Here's how to do this. Here's how to, you know, connect with the other, with the spirit guides and all of that. What do you find is, from a beginner student, into say intermediate student, that would help them to develop these? Is there certain things that you found that works?
Well, one thing we do is we just do this sort of quick little induction guided meditation just to open up the chakras, right? Just to open up your field to be porous and receptive to information external to you. And, you know, the way we do it is we sort of just visualize one by one, sort of opening a doorway or a gate in front of the chakra, which we then close down after we're done with the process. But once you do start this practice, you do end up picking up a lot of, you know, random people's thoughts. That was one of our big feedbacks from people that went through our course was, I have a lot more precognition, and I can hear people when I go to the store, I can, you know, hear what people are thinking now. And so there's an element of just learning to be in charge of how much you're receiving. But yeah, in that feedback, testing yourself, right? Playing with it. What am I thinking, right? What animal am I thinking of right now? Or what kind of car am I thinking of? And seeing if you can get bits of information. Or I'm thinking of a location. I'm sending you a specific location. Do you notice anything about it? Are you getting anything? And just really allowing yourself to say, even if it sounds silly or like maybe you thought of it yourself, you just say whatever comes. And then you can start to build that trust with your own information gathering.
When you said sending you a location, were you thinking Pacific Coast Highway in Santa Monica?
I wasn't. I was thinking of, first I was thinking of the Eiffel Tower, and then I was thinking of the pyramids.
That's weird. I don't know where the Pacific Coast Highway came from, because that one just was like, wham! I was like, whoa, what was that? I don't even know, but yeah.
A lot of these locations we wouldn't use in a class setting because they're great examples to talk about, but we don't use them because there's too much awareness of them.
So you don't want to use like the Mount Rushmore or something that's commonly known.
They found in the scientific research, they found that places that had a history of highly emotional experiences like churches or concert venues were much easier to find when trying to use remote viewing, because there's something called numinosity, which it seems to make them glow more in terms of the psychic signature. Really important world events are easier to find than, you know, run-of-the-mill events. And it's also easier to tune into information that's changing. So if you have something that's in flux of change, it's easier than something that's sort of static. Like a boat sailing is easier to find than a boat in harbor.
That's very interesting. And I would think it would be the opposite, as just something moving would be harder to track than something still, you know. But That's completely not right.
The fact that it's moving. If you think about it physically, we are attuned when looking for things. We're attuned. Our brains notice things in movement more than they notice things that are still, because the things in movement are the things that could be dangerous to us, right? And so it's not surprising that on an energetic level, you would have this sort of same thing where the movement would draw your attention. So that's something that could be the case where that would draw your attention and make it easier. And the signature being brighter makes perfect sense, because more people have invested more energy and especially more emotion, which is the most powerful form of energy, into a specific place. And therefore that place starts to hold that energy and its morphic field gets stronger. And therefore it is more visible and more, it's brighter. Right. So we talked about this before when we talked about how you show up on the astral when you first start to get conscious of this stuff, and that you get brighter and things notice you more. It's the same idea, only with buildings.
And we found that animals notice us more and try to come and communicate more after people go through our telepathy program, which has a we do one class on animal communication, and but now dogs come up to me. They come up to other people all the time, and there's like want to have us be their confidant or, you know, solve their problems for them. Like, hey, nobody else is really listening to me. Can you help me out with this thing? And so, you know, you get dogs like really staring you up good to try to be their voice.
Are you getting ghosts too, or is that not part of the training?
We don't include the sort of the mediumship aspect, but you could, you know, it's the same. Again, I sort of lump that together, but I haven't personally experienced that. I've had a bit more active dream time since I started paying attention. But again, it's really, it enriches, one thing enriches the other. Like once you start being present, I think it has to do with presence. Like if you're noticing subtle details in your telepathy, then you're also noticing them in your dream time, but you're also noticing them when you go for a walk outside, right? You're just appreciating like the nuance of the world or whatever reality your attention is on. You just start to see the richness more.
Well, and this is also why people who come from traumatic environments do better at energy work and magic, is because they're already hyper aware and hyper present a lot. Even if their brains take them off in other places, they know how to be hyper present. And so that hyper presence is a building block from which you build the rest of the work that you do. And so that's why people from traumatic backgrounds do so well in this work. But it is also why you have to do a lot of healing work to really get the benefit of it. Because if you don't do the healing, then the blah, 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 blah in your brain that comes from the trauma will out scream the subtlety of the messages that you're getting on the energetic. So yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. So, okay, Derek, so we started talking about telepathy, and then you mentioned that there's a course. So you got to tell people where it is and how to find it, because I know I can hear people right now going, "Ooh, I could learn to telepathy. I need to know. How do I take that course?" I can hear it. And you know, that, yeah. So you just got to tell people. So where do they find this course? When are you doing it next? So that they know how to find it.
We'll be running it for the second time this spring, finalizing the dates now, but it will be in April and May of 23. And so we'll cover telepathy, animal communication, plant communication, remote viewing, and, sort of general clairvoyance, you know, just getting generalized guidance. And we had 100% success rate our first time through. So it's very, very exciting. Everybody, you know, reported that they got, and it's not that you're getting 100% accuracy, right? Like almost nobody can report accurately about anything, even if they saw it right in front of them, right? But again, it's such a, it's a trainable skill, which is what I love about it as a coach and a trainer. You can find out how you operate best within the framework, and then you can slowly get a higher confidence that you're getting accurate, useful information. And eventually some people go and build careers, you know, whether it's like my collaborator, Dita, she works mostly with animals. She works with animal actors or Olympic show jumping horses, or she'll, you know, the zoo, National Zoo will call her and tell her, we've got a problem elephant. Can you come talk to this elephant, you know, get him to behave? Or you can, you know, there's a whole group of people that predict the future of crypto, right? There's a whole group of people that are using this to track ahead of time the crypto market so that they can make money. So there's a lot of different things you can do. Again, helping people heal, you know, talking to spirit guides, deceased relatives, whatever.
You know, when you say, well, you're not 100% accurate, nobody is 100% accurate. And it's not just in psychic skills, it's in their ability to observe the environment. And, you know, if you talk to a police officer and you talk to them about having done interviews of witnesses at a crime scene, they will tell you that they get 10 different people will give you 10 different stories. And it's because, you know, they were only focused on the stuff that they were focused on, and they miss, they may misinterpret other things. You know, eyewitness accounts are one of the least reliable things in police work. And, but that's because, you know, we are limited by our ability to observe and by our attention. And so, you know, that's going to impact psychic skills as well as it does regular life, you know, just looking at something skills. So, you know, don't take it as
the same thing as the police do, is where if we want to get information about something, we'll take a consensus. So we'll have, you know, 10 different people view what's in that box, right? And then everyone says their own impression of what it is. And then we actually can put together a pretty good composite of what's really in the box.
Yeah, which is that whole concept of crowdsourcing answers, right? That a crowdsourced answer will almost always exceed an expert answer if you get enough people in the crowd. And so that's another piece of the puzzle there too, which is, and so the question you have to ask yourself when you're doing a consensus path is the consensus being built by, you know, are you coming together with, oh, well, these are the most common things, and so therefore it must be what's true? Or is the consensus itself creating the reality, right?
Right. And my collaborator, Dita, she always would ask people, like, who are the people that think they have this wrong? That you think you're hearing everyone form this consensus of information, and so you think you're wrong. I want to hear what you have to say. And a lot of times there's a huge piece that they have right that the consensus will have wrong. So it's, you know, it's, that's really important for building trust too with yourself. Yeah.
Perspective. Jewel, you were going to say something a minute ago. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, I was going to ask him, the classes and all, are they on your website, DerekLoudermilk.com? Because we're going to include all that information in the show notes so that our audience can go find you.
Yes, we'll have that up soon, but I'll send you a separate course page for this program.
Okay, so we'll put a link direct to that page then in the show notes. So cool.
Very good. And then one other question I had real quick was, as you're learning the different healing techniques and all, do you find that, say, like your telepathy and all of the other things that you mentioned, those develop the more you learn, the more that they develop, or is it more independent type of development? So you learn a healing technique, but that does not necessarily boost your clairvoyance.
Yeah, there is a lot of benefit from one technique to another. There's, you know, these foundational skills, like the how you process energy through your physical body, for example, is one foundational skill that sort of affects many different sub skills or techniques. There's the breath, how you control your breath or utilize the breath. There's how you manage your attention and focus and awareness. So many of these are like foundational building blocks that then can be applied to learning one or another thing.
Well, I think that's all that we have time for this week, folks. And Kelly, do you have a Kellyism for us this week?
The more you learn, the more you know.
I'm going old school. I love it. I love it.
The more you know.
I love it.
Well,
all right, folks, you heard
everybody. I just want to remind everybody that Derek will be joining. He doesn't even know this yet. He's going to be joining our Spirit Sherpa podcast Facebook group. So please check that out if you're not a member yet. He will be in that group and you can actually reach out to him and talk to him directly if you have any questions or anything like that. I do this because it makes it easier for people to find our guests. So most of the guests that have been on the show are in the Facebook group, the Spirit Sherpa podcast Facebook group. So if you ever have questions, you know, that's a great way to find people and reach out to them. You know, make sure you sign up for the mailing list so that you don't miss any of these podcasts or any of the weird TikToks that I post, or, I've actually got, there's cool stuff coming out from my friends. I'm starting a section called, you know, cool stuff my friends are doing. And so you may also learn about that, and you won't find out about those things anywhere other than on the mailing list. Plus,
But wait, there's more.
Starting immediately, like right yesterday, if you're on the mailing list, you also get invited to come on to these recordings live. And so if you wanted to ask questions in the moment, you could do that. We've just changed to a new platform and it's letting us do this now. And we're super excited about it. So if you want to come on, and you'll get early access to the podcasts, because we're recording them in advance. And so, you know, you'll be on the show and the show won't drop for anybody else for several weeks. So you'll get early access to the podcast and you get to ask your questions in real time. So, you know, that's pretty cool, right? So
that is cool.
Yeah. And the only way you're going to get to do that is if you're on the mailing list, because we don't tell anybody else what our schedule is for recording. So there's no other way to do it. So get on the mailing list. It's going to be cool.
Get on the mailing list. Yes.
Yeah.
And hit that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up. If you love us, if you don't, give us a thumbs up too.
Because
that helps us in our ratings.
Yes. And you get on the mailing list by going to kellysparta.com. And you can either download the free Boundaries for Empaths download or take the shadow work quiz at the top or at the very bottom. There is just a join the mailing list. So your call how you want to do it.
That'll work. All right. Well, that is all that we have time for this week, folks. So tune in next time when Kelly adds another chapter into your guide to energy, magic, and the spirit world. I'm Jules, here with Kelly and Derek, and you have been listening to Spirit Sherpa. So long, y'all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Driving down the road, eyes on the horizon. Within my car, I'm all alone. But feeling good and feeling strong, knowing that this path I'm on brings me to myself. I'm driving.
Are you waking up to the spiritual world and realizing that you have no idea what you're doing, but you feel like you kind of probably should, especially since you seem to be seeing things and feeling things and having things see you that maybe aren't so great, and that you might want to actually control your experience of that? Well, I have great news for you, because our Welcome to the Woo program does just that for you. It teaches you how to hold your energy field, manage your energy field, clear your energy field, protect your energy field, and learn how to protect your space. And you learn how to do basic divination and talk to your guides so that you feel like you actually have a clue and have a way to talk to the guides that will help you to figure everything else out. And it teaches you how to make sure that you feel mentally, emotionally, and energetically safe. That means that we also deal with things like fear and anxiety and worry and dread and self-doubt and inner and outer judgments. And we help you build a foundation of self-support and courage. All of these things together create a solid sense of safety in your own life. They will reduce your stress levels in half, guaranteed. So visit the website at kellysparta.com and find out more about the Welcome to the Woo program. Your future awaits.